This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, everybody. It's another edition of Then and Now. I'm Brad Sham. The Cowboys Training Camp 2022 is getting underway, and we are sitting down at the very beginning of it. With the, it says here in my script that I wrote for me, the best football player on the team, future Hall of Famer, Zach Martin. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
How do you feel when people like me say that stuff? Because I say it almost every time I see you.
I don't know. I get a little weirded out. I'm just, you know, it's a good honor. It's a great honor for you to say that. I mean, obviously, we've got a ton of studs on this team and, you know, some guys that would argue that point too, but. You know what? I've had a good little start to my career, and keep it going.
This is year nine.
This is year nine.
So for some people, that's
maybe I'm on the
No. I like where you were going. Follow your instincts, because I like the notion that you are you've had a nice little start, which would indicate that there's quite a bit more yet ahead. What does the calendar say your age is?
I'm 31 years. I'll be 32 in November.
You're just a child, and you really offensive lineman. You are at the age that you could theoretically play almost as long as you have already played, if you wanted to. Theoretically, you could play. You don't think you play another 8 years, 8-9 years?
I don't know. I'm just going to take it 1 year at a time. And it's funny, when I came into the NFL, I always had this goal, I want to play 10 years. And now kind of when I'm approaching that number, and I've just kind of always told myself, once I get to that 10th year, I'm just going to go until I feel like I can't go anymore. I don't want to ever keep playing when I see my play start to go down. I think that's, I'll know it'll be time. I don't want to hang around and just collect a paycheck. So whenever that time comes, then it'll be time.
That has a lot more to do with how you feel about it than any number of years or eight, does it not?
Yeah, definitely. I really am feeling great. I mean, I feel as good this year coming into camp as I have the last probably 3 years. So I'm feeling good. I'm healthy right now, knock on wood. So just going to keep going until my body tells me no.
The last couple of years obviously have been very strange, COVID, and yep. Even last year's off season wasn't quite normal. Right. Have you, through all that and now back to what we hope is normal, made any changes or concessions to age and experience about the way you prepare in the off season?
Yeah, I think 2020 was a tough year for me. You know, COVID year. First time I really missed extended time, kind of felt my body a little bit going, and I kind of made some adjustments going into last season that I think really helped, and you know, I was pretty proud of
myself. I'm sorry, what were those?
I think I was just smarter in how I trained in the off season. You know, obviously we've got a great strength program here, and it's a lot of we really push ourselves in the off season, and I think just kind of learning, like, hey, we're in March, season's in August. In July, we start training camp. Just be smart throughout that time. Make sure you're feeling as good as possible going into the season. You don't have to beat every single number every day in the weight room and on the field. So some of that. And then I, you know, definitely started spending a lot more time on my body during the season. Started seeing some different PTs and Just really put investing the time, because you know when you come into the league, all the older guys are saying, you know, you got to take care of your body. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I feel good. And 2020 was the first year where I kind of started feeling the, you know, the wear and tear a little bit. So I've started to take more time to take care of myself, and I think it's really made a big difference.
Your rookie year was 14?
14.
And in 14 and 15 and even 16.
Yep.
What day of the week did you start to, in season, Sunday game, when did you start feeling good? And when is it now?
Now? I mean, I think also, back to the point, the I think the staff has worked with me too over the last couple of years.
Training staff or coaching staff?
Both. You know, last year, a lot of the time on Wednesdays, I'd do more of like an individual type deal, a lot of the team stuff. I didn't, you know, wasn't out there every single rep, and I think that helped a lot to get my body back for starting feeling good on Thursday. But when I was younger, man, I felt good on after our off day on Tuesday. I was feeling good, ready to
roll.
Let's
go play.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now it's about Thursday afternoon where I start to feel a little better, and then Friday, obviously, we get a little time to ourselves on Friday to start doing those things we kind of talked about, and it's paid off.
Hey, the last 3 years, in fact, Mike McCarthy brought something in that was different than anybody had seen with the kind of lighter day rehab day on Friday and the practice ramp up on Saturday. Very unconventional. I've read quotes where you said you really like that. What is it about that that you like?
I do really like it. And, you know, the first year it was a little different because I, you know, let's see, 6 years of doing it the same way. And it changes up a little bit, and you kind of got to buy back into how we're doing things. But I think last year really made a difference. It really allows you, because if you think about it, you know, we would practice pretty hard on Friday, and then Saturday be a walkthrough. We play a lot of primetime games, a lot of 3:30 games. So, you know, we would have a big practice Friday, and the next time you'd really get a good sweat in was game day. So you're going almost 48 hours without really starting that, you know, workout, getting your body ready to go. So I think our new schedule allows us to not only, hey, get two good work days on Wednesday, Thursday, get a little recovery on Friday, and then Saturday, it's not long, but it's get out there, get a really good sweat, a little bit of timing in some of our opening plays type deal. And it just kind of starts that clock where you're getting good work, you're getting a sweat in 24 hours before the game. And I think it made a difference. For me personally, I think a lot of guys on the team have really bought into it, feeling better on Sunday.
I like the then part of then and now, because it frequently doesn't have anything ostensibly to do with now, except that's what fueled you and shaped you and made you. So what was 10 and 12 and 15-year-old Zach Martin thinking about football?
I started playing football young. So I moved to Indianapolis. I'm originally from Kansas City. I moved to Indy when I was 8 years old.
Chiefs fan before that? Or did you care?
I didn't really. My whole family's from Kentucky, so I didn't really, like, my parents didn't have a team, I guess, growing up. So, yeah, I rooted for the Chiefs a little bit, I guess, when I was young. When I moved to Indy was the year they drafted Peyton.
Oh, so, well. Done deal.
I grew up.
How many horseshoes, shirts, and things did you have?
I grew up a big Colts fan and a big Peyton Manning fan. So I grew up in a good time to be an Indy for a football fan. But I started playing football at 8, like tackle full padded football, third grade. So my dad was a college football player. So he was my coach early on. And I was always on the bigger side, always an O-line, D-line. But played football, played all kind of sports in grade school, and then I was really a basketball guy. Like, I was obsessed with basketball all the way up till probably my sophomore year of high school.
Playing it,
AU, the whole nine. And then
were you a 4 or a 5?
I was a 5.
Yeah.
I was a 6'4" 5.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, you ever seen Charles Barkley?
Right, yeah, okay. Okay. But, no, after my freshman year of football, I came in and I kind of hit a growth spurt. I've been about the same height since my freshman year of high school. I've been about 6'4". So I started to excel at football, and then basketball kind of started slowly to fade away a little bit. And then I would say after my sophomore season in football, started to get recruited a little bit, and that's where I really kind of locking in on football and kind of hit the ground running.
Did you, when that started to happen, were you always a Notre Dame guy?
No. Never a Notre Dame guy, actually. So my parents both went to the University of Kentucky. My dad played football there. My mom swam there. So I bleed blue, man. I still do. I love Kentucky. Love Kentucky basketball, the whole nine.
How many games have you seen at Rupp Arena?
Quite a few. We still have season tickets to the football. So, I'd go to a couple football games every year there. And wasn't a Notre Dame fan, really. I wasn't from Indiana, so a lot of my friends growing up were, like, huge Notre Dame fans. And I was just, like, usually I'd go on the other side. If everyone's one thing, I try to go opposite. So I wasn't this huge Notre Dame fan. Really didn't get recruited by Notre Dame very hard. Started getting some offers, a lot of Big Ten offers. I was pretty locked into going to the University of Michigan. I was pretty much set on going to Michigan, and then my dad talked me into going to visit Notre Dame and visited up there and spent a weekend up there and then committed about 3 weeks later.
What changed your mind? What swayed you?
I don't know. The people up there, like the guys, a guy named Braxton Cave, another Indiana guy, was our center in college. He was my host every time I went up there, and I just clicked right when I went up there, and I just had a feeling that this is the spot for me. And I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. So there was a little bit of that. And then obviously the school itself. But once I got around the players and the coaches, and I kind of fell in love with it. And I think they offered me in May, and I committed in July.
Did Kentucky ever know how much of a Kentucky fan you were?
Oh, yeah. I visited Kentucky a bunch. My younger brother was actually committed to Kentucky for
Nick?
Yeah, for about 6 months. And then Notre Dame offered him, and then he switched it up to come play with Big Bro. But I was Kentucky, and then Michigan hard, and then all of a sudden switched to Notre Dame.
Once you knew you were going to play college football,
yep.
Did you also then know you were going to play pro football?
I did not. No, I would say it was always in the back of my mind, like in high school, like, man, I'd love to play pro football. But, you know, I went to Notre Dame. I reported about 270, redshirted. I was a good football player early on at Notre Dame, but I redshirted and I didn't really know. You know, you show up and you see these guys are like 320, 325. It's like, holy moly, I don't know if I'll get – can I get up to that?
Is this Kelly?
I played 1 year under Coach Weiss. So my redshirt year was under Weiss. So then after that year, Coach Weiss gets fired. New staff, kind of new opportunities. So it's kind of it obviously was probably the best thing for my career personally, because a new staff came in. We kind of ran a different offense. Being undersized at the time wasn't that big a deal, because we were going from like a true pro-style offense to kind of a spread run-and-gun type deal. So had a good spring that first year and started playing as a redshirt freshman at left tackle, and kind of rest is history.
So when did you start thinking about playing pro football? I'm holding off on the left tackle stuff.
I know it's coming. let's see. I mean, I started to play. Okay, I played my redshirt freshman year. Had an okay season. Nothing special, but, you know, I was, 19 playing college football, big college football, and I was played all right. My redshirt sophomore year was okay, a little bit better, a little bit bigger. And then my junior year, we got a guy, a new offensive line coach, a guy by the name of Harry Hestand, very well-known, high-regarded offensive line coach. And that's when it kind of started to click for me. And that's when I really started to figure out, like, hey, I'm going to have a chance at doing this.
Did you figure it out, or did someone say to you, you know, if you keep doing this, you're going to play on Sundays?
I kind of always, in the back of my mind, thought I could, definitely. I think with him coming in, and he had just been with the Bears for, like, 6 years before. He spent 1 year at Tennessee, University of Tennessee, before he came to Notre Dame, but before that was in the NFL. And I don't know, my confidence just kept growing with him. I started to like a lot more what I saw on tape. I started to get bigger, stronger. Really, like, was the first time I kind of fell in love with, like, the offensive line position. And how the unit works together and that whole thing. And that's really kind of what he preaches and what he teaches and really bought into the whole thing. And I played 1 year under him, would have been my redshirt junior year. Thought about coming out in the draft. He talked me out of it, and it was really probably the best.
What did he say to convince you to stay in school?
He told me, hey, I've been in the pros. You can go, you know, someone, if you leave now, someone will probably take you fairly high, second, third round. I think I got a second round grade. He said they'll draft you to, you know, you could get in the mix. I think if you stay another year, someone's going to draft you to be the guy. And so I came back another year, got bigger, played really well my fifth year, and was able to go there in the first half of the first round and be a plug-and-play guy right when I got drafted.
I want to stay with that offensive line coach thing for a minute. I'll never forget. Mark Stepnoski was the center, of course, on the Cowboys Super Bowl teams in the 90s, and he left for a period of time, became a free agent, went and signed with the Houston Oilers just before they moved to Tennessee. Then he came back.
Yep.
And I remember talking to him when he came back about what, now that he had been a free agent and changed teams twice, what attracts you to, as a free agent, to decide where you're going to go, because everyone thinks it's just money. And he said, no, it's not just money, because everybody, you know what the market is. You're going to make what you're going to make. He said, I look at the offensive line coach and the strength coach, because those are where you spend the most time, and can you fit in with them? That left a tremendous impression on me, that position coaches, and maybe more for offensive linemen than anywhere else on the team, that really is important in how a lineman feels about himself, the group, and the team.
Right.
As you've gone through 9 years, 8 years of your pro career now, has that been reinforced? Do you feel it even more strongly than you did at the end of your career at Notre Dame?
I do. I think, you know, luckily for me, the strength staff here, obviously we had Coach Wojcik and then now Harold Nash, come from the same tree, right? So I've been lucky. I've had the same strength and conditioning program since I've been in Dallas, and I think that really has helped me. Just talking to different guys around the league, we lift, and I think we do things the right way here. We really put time in to our off-season program, to our weight room, and I think it pays off, you know, in the season. And then offensive line coach, the exact same way.
And you've had a few in your 8 years.
I've had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Who was it when you came in?
Callahan.
Okay.
Pollock.
And Callahan was one of the best in the
Callahan
world.
Callahan was great. Was excellent.
Okay, then Pollock.
Yep. And then
Paul from Cincinnati. Was he the
Paul
next
Alexander.
One? Paul Alexander. And then Colombo.
And then Colombo. And then now Coach Philbin.
Coach Philbin.
Yep, so five. Five and 8 years.
Those are not the same guy.
They're not. And you know, it's been good for me. I've always had my my foundation of kind of what I believe in blocking, and that kind of stems from my college coach that I come from. And then, you know, take things along the way from different coaches, obviously. And then that's been the nice thing. You know, I really enjoyed all of my offensive line coaches. I really have. I'm not just saying that. But that's been the nice thing with Coach Philbin coming in. He comes from the same tree as my college line coach. So a lot of the drills that we're doing now at practice are literally the exact same drills I did throughout college. And it's been kind of nice to refresh and get back into that world and those kind of mindset and how you move people in the run game and different things like that. So it's been good these last couple of years. I've really enjoyed it.
This line has undergone a bit of a metamorphosis since you came in.
Yep.
And there was the 1 year before Doug Free retired, he was the senior guy, right?
Yep.
And so then it was you and Tyron and Travis.
Yep.
And Lyle came in and Ron Leary was here. And this is a different line now.
It is.
And I think it'd be very instructive to hear you talk about how and why, and are you trying to do the same things that you were trying to do back then?
As far as, like, technique?
Schematically? Technique? Yeah.
I think...
Because it's not as simple as, you know, there's a guy, block him.
Right.
It's not that simple.
No, not at all. And I was very fortunate, kind of go back to where I got drafted. The pieces kind of fell into place for me a little bit. I got drafted to a team who had just invested a lot into their offensive line, a lot into their run game. I came in. We didn't have to throw the ball my rookie year 40, 50 times. We really ran the ball 40 or 50 times, and it was kind of a nice transition for me, at least, coming into the NFL, where I could do a lot of the things that I was good at and maybe learn a little bit more in some of the areas that I wasn't quite so good at. So I do think I was in the right place at the right time when I came in as for a young player. But to answer your question about the offensive line, I mean, obviously we're different. I think everyone wants to compare us to the 14, 15, 16 line, and, you know, we're a different line, right? We were very good back then. I think we have a chance to be very good with this line too. But I do think it's different. I think we're doing some different things, which I love. And as far as technique-wise, when you really dive into it, some of the stuff we do.
Are they difficult or relatively easy to explain?
I think it's easier to do the stuff we're doing now than it is the stuff we were doing when I first got here. Not to say, you know, one's much better than the other. But in my personal opinion, what we're doing now is it simplifies things, especially for young players. But I'm excited for this year. I think we've got the capability to be a very good line. I think the most important thing is, one, we're going to stay healthy. I think that's been one thing. When you look back, I don't think we've been healthy the whole year as a unit since probably that 2016 season. So I think number one is stay healthy. And then what I'm most excited about, I think, is this is going to be the first year where there's some serious competition on the offensive line. So that competition, in my opinion, brings out the best in people. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of these guys fight for those jobs. And I think it'll bring not only those guys up, but I think it'll bring us around them to a better level.
Does it feel to you like running is still as important in the league as it was?
In my opinion, it does. Yeah.
It does?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're going to have to throw the ball. That's no surprise. Everyone's got to throw it. When you look around, especially who's won it the last couple of years, I mean, they're throwing the ball, and we know we're going to have to do that. But just in my experience in the NFL, games where you're running the ball, it just makes everyone around you better. It makes the defense better. It makes quarterback better. It makes the coach's job easier. So I think that's something we want to get back to, is really establishing that identity in the run game and being a unit the team can count on. You know, when I first got here, you know, I think that's kind of the offensive line was looked as a unit that, hey, these guys are going to go out and do it every week. And I want to get back to that. I think the last couple of years we've been okay, but I think we have the capability of being that unit on the team where it's like, hey, these guys every week are going to come out and give us a shot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so one of the hallmarks that I try to hang the hook of this series of conversations then and now on is not to dwell on hot sports takes. I tell all of my guests this is not hot sports takes. You have, however, kind of just cracked the door just a little bit, so I'm gonna stick my head through it, not come crashing full bore. But why do you? I'm asking about two guys.
Yep.
Why do you believe that Tyler Smith and Terrence Steele are the kinds of players who can do what you're talking about?
I'll start with Terrence. I love Terrence Steele. I've been high on him. I just have a ton of respect for him. That first year, that COVID year, I don't think people understand what he did that year. Undrafted guy. No training camp, basically 2 weeks of training camp. I think he started 14 games, I think it was. Had his ups and downs, but kind of showed, like, especially in the run game. In my opinion, I don't know if there's a better right tackle in the run game in the NFL than Terrence Steele. And
it's a big statement.
It is a big statement, but I think when you turn the tape on last year and we're running the ball, you see Terrence Steele, that's the guy who was – can I curse a little bit? No.
Yeah.
Kicking some ass on tape.
They'll take it out if they don't like it. Yeah.
Seriously, kicking some serious ass in the run game. And he's gotten bigger, stronger, faster. So
I'm worried. We said, can I curse? That's nothing.
Okay,
that's nothing.
So Terrence to me is a big key to our run game. Just the way he can get off the ball and move people and really get after it. And then, the competition part is another Tyler Smith and Connor McGovern. Those guys, Connor McGovern's played a decent amount of football for us. And then obviously Tyler Smith's a first round pick. And, we didn't have pads on in the spring, but you could kind of see his physicality and the way he plays. And so it's exciting to see, to have those two guys kind of duke it out. And I think it'll bring the best out of them. But, I guess I haven't seen enough Tyler Smith yet to really maybe make a statement like I just made for Terrence. But I really do – Terrence Steele, I'm expecting to have a really big year.
You and others have compared Tyler Smith to Ron Leary.
Yes, yeah.
Because
– just kind of the way – just, I mean, even from his, like, stance, the way he moves, kind of his quiet mentality – it's all kind of Ron Leary-esque, in my opinion, which I don't know if everyone, which is a huge compliment to him, because I hold Ron Leary in very high regard. So he's got that kind of that quiet demeanor, but he's like ready to rip your head off at any moment.
I thought Leary was the unsung hero.
He was like our enforcer a little bit, when he was with us. He was, we had guys, Tyron and Trav and myself kind of got some of the headlines, but I think kind of the glue to the whole thing was Ron Leary.
Okay. You let the record show, we can re-rack the tape. You brought the subject up first, not me.
Okay.
Now, for the benefit of our audience, when Zach was a young player, he and Travis Frederick would come on our Cowboy Hour show, and I would just bring up the fact that he was an outstanding offensive tackle at Notre Dame, and might he ever want to slide back in, or could he slide back in? Is that something that could happen? And after 3 or 4 years, I had enough of, all right, can we just drop the tackle stuff? Okay. And I did drop it.
You did. Yeah.
Until you started playing tackle
exactly.
again. Yeah. So why are you – because if something, heaven forfend, happened, you could pop out and play either tackle right now. Why would you like people not to think of you as the swing tackle as they're trying to build this team?
I think the biggest reason why I would, as far as like a team wise, whenever you have a guy that goes down, in my opinion, it's not beneficial to move multiple pieces of an offensive line. So that would be my biggest argument with it. Now, yes, in emergency situations like that in 2020, where I had to kind of kick out for a couple games, yeah, I can do that. But in my opinion, there's a lot of value to find a swing tackle, get those reps, and then if something does happen, that guy goes in, so you don't have to mix up your whole line. because in my experience, when you move multiple pieces, it's not quite as good as moving one piece.
So draft day.
Yeah.
You by now certainly know all the stories about what was allegedly going on.
Yeah.
You know, in the Cowboys war room, some people wanted the quarterback from from Texas A&M, and other people most decisively did not. What were you hearing, and what did you hear? What were you hearing that night? Who did you think, where and who did you think was going to take you, like, before the process?
Yep.
And then after the fact, what did you hear about what really happened?
So I did come down to Dallas for a pre-draft visit, but that was really the only contact I had with Dallas in the draft process. And my visit was pretty normal. Like, I met with Coach Callahan, Coach Pollock, met with Coach Garrett, Mr. Jones, and kind of did the whole song and dance, and then went home and didn't hear anything from him. So Dallas was never really in my mind. They had just drafted Travis. 2 years prior, they just drafted Tyron. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, eh, they're probably – and they were defense kind of that year was their – was what I was hearing.
As I recall, there was a linebacker from Notre Dame who got hurt, went to the Steelers.
No, he was Ohio State.
But that was that year, right?
Ryan Shazier got drafted the pick before me. So from what I hear, if he had not gotten picked, then Dallas probably would have taken
him. That's what I heard, too.
So,
yeah. Have you reflected on that through the years a little bit?
Not really, but it is kind of crazy how that works out. I thought I was going to the Giants. I kind of had a little bit of an in with the Giants. A guy, Tim McDonald, he's a Mara. He works there now. He worked at Notre Dame my first 4 years there. So we were kind of keeping in touch, and they picked at number 12, and that was kind of a spot I thought I was going to go. Now they drafted Odell, which was, you know, a good pick, great pick for them. And but so I kind of had that. All right, if I get past the Giants, I don't know what's going to happen. And then he texted me. I remember him texting me like a pick or two before they picked and said, hey, we're not going to take you. And I was like, okay, all right, whatever. We'll see what happens. And then I was sitting there with my family. I was at home in Indianapolis sitting there with my family. And then I think we got up to, I don't know, we had a bunch of people there. It gets kind of nerve-wracking. Maybe around like the 13th, 14th pick. After the Giants picked, I think I went upstairs to my parents' room with my now wife and my parents and my brothers. And we're kind of just watching it up there, my agent. And then my agent represented Tony Romo, too. So I think it was like pick 14, he got a call, my agent did, and he kind of played it off. I was like, oh, no, it's nothing, whatever. Then my phone rings, you know, right after the 15th pick was – after Shazier was taken, whenever my phone rang and was picked by Dallas, and it was a shock. And, you know, it was cool. I got to get on the phone with Tony, like, right after he called my agent. We got on the phone and talked to him a little bit, and – but no, everyone was very excited to come down to Dallas.
What did you hear later about all the Manziel hubbub?
Yeah, well, obviously later I hear about, and that was always the thing, right? Because when you were watching the draft, I hadn't watched it back. Actually, I watched it back this year for the first time.
Really?
I think. Yeah,
What made you do that?
I don't know what made me do that, honestly. What was I doing? Maybe my wife. It was on TV or something that week of the draft. They were replaying the 2014 draft or something, and me and my wife, like, we turned it on. It was, like, on, like, you know, top 10 pick or whatever, and she's like, let's watch it, and we watched it. And you forget how much they were going back and showing back and forth, and then they picked me and the crowd boos and the whole nine. But, you know, at the time, I knew they made the right decision, and I think it's paid off ever since. But – again, I knew nothing really about Dallas. It was never on my radar. I'd been to Dallas one. The funny thing was, the first time I'd ever come to Dallas was about 2 months prior, because Kentucky was playing in the Final Four in Dallas, so I came to the game. But that was the first time I'd ever been to Dallas, and then 2 months later, I'm living down here.
And now you're probably a Cowboy for life.
I sure hope so. Yep. I don't have any desire to play anywhere else, so. I'd like to end my career.
A lot of guys, mostly skill position players that I have talked to through the years who turned out to be great Hall of Fame caliber players, will say that when they walked into the stadium for the first time, they look, and maybe it was on a visit, and maybe it was right after the draft, whenever it was, and they looked up at the Ring of Honor. Emmett Smith apparently told Michael Irvin, I'm going to be there one day. And All of a sudden, a lot of guys think about the Hall of Fame today. They start thinking about the Hall of Fame right away. They come into the league thinking about the Hall of Fame. When did you ever start thinking about those kinds of things? Do you ever contemplate seeing your name up in the Ring of Honor?
Well, I'll say this. When I first came in the league, it didn't even cross my mind. I was just happy to get – I was a first-round pick. I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. This is awesome. I walk into a locker room. You know, we had a very veteran team when I got here, which made it very fun for me because walking into the locker room, you got Romo, you got Witten, DeMarco, all these guys that I had watched, you know, on Sundays on my couch, you know, after a win at Notre Dame. I mean, you know, I'd be watching these guys, and now all of a sudden I'm sharing a locker room with me. But that really didn't – like, I didn't come in my rookie year being like, oh, I'm going to be an All-Pro or a Pro Bowl. I was like, I want to just come in, and I want to live up to the pick, right? They picked me in the first round. I want to be a guy they can count on, So then I had some success my rookie year. I never thought that I would be an All-Pro or Pro Bowler in my rookie season. And then, you know, I think as it's gone on, I'm not going to lie, it's definitely a goal of mine. I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I want to be in the Ring of Honor, the whole nine. But that probably came later. I think after, I don't know how many years in, but, you know, let's say after 4 or 5 years when I was having success, I was like, you know, if I keep this thing going, I got a shot to do something special. And so that's definitely a goal of mine.
This just jumped into my mind, but it goes along with how hard you guys work, and especially offensive linemen. You have just so much to do off the field. Mm-hmm. There's no need to get into the player, the quarterback who just signed a new contract that includes a clause that mandates that he do 4 hours of independent study a week. And that's an astonishing contract clause to a lot of people. How does that resonate with you? And not him, not the team, just the whole notion of that. You got to put a clause in the contract to tell you to do your homework.
I'm trying to think how to say this. It's interesting, to say the least, mm-hmm. right? I think I'll kind of tie it into myself, right? When I came here, again, we had a veteran team and guys that I could learn from and learn how to prepare for games and week to week and certain guys. And I don't know. In my opinion, if you're going to go into a game, I don't know how you're not watching film, because these guys are really, really good across the ball. And so it is interesting. But I can just speak on myself, and I think that's something that I learned early on, right? So we didn't have the – I think we had – we had iPads when I first got in, but we didn't have the cloud, right? So you had to physically go take your iPad to the video guy, get the film plugged in, the whole nine. So it's easier now to watch film. So that's why it's kind of interesting. But, yeah, like everything, like we'll practice. 30 minutes later, I'll go on my iPad. The entire practice is on the tape, and you can watch it. So, but I do think that's something back to college with my coach, Coach Heastan. I think that's something that he brought to me, is how to prepare for a week, what to look for, how to break down film, how to break down a specific player, right? And that's why I think people get, especially in the offensive line play, you get over, when you're watching film, you kind of get, there's two ways to look at it, I think. Some people are like, all right, how do I block this specific guy? Where in my belief in the offensive line, it's, I'm going to do the same thing. Now, certain players, you know, you're running against 99 versus the Rams, you got to tweak some things, right? But I think to have the most success, if you've got your fundamentals and your beliefs on how to block someone and you rep that like we do here, that's going to take care about 95% of what we do. You do it your way. And now, again, certain guys, you got to make tweaks and things like that. But I think if you have a belief in what you're doing and you rep it over and over and over again, it just kind of takes care of itself. You know?
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to talk about Travis Frederick, who you are older than, but came in behind him. It was pretty clear pretty early that he was a different cat.
Yes.
Can you quantify how much he helped get your career going smoothly?
Yes,
And for people only hearing the audio, I wish you could see the grin on his face just at the mention of Travis's name.
Well, it's so funny. I remember I texted him, And this is nothing against anyone who's played center since he's been gone, but I remember the first year he didn't play. He was gone. He retired. And I remember texting him, and I just said, you were taken for granted so much here, and I just want you to know that. Because he really did. I mean, again, back to how I was kind of fortunate and fell into place. When you play around elite players, it not only makes you rise the level of your play, but also, you know, you get covered a little bit sometimes, right? So I was very fortunate to play with a guy like that. I think it's tough sometimes for me because I kind of when I think of a center, I think of Travis Frederick. So I think unfairly sometimes I think certain ways for different guys. But I was very fortunate, very lucky to play with a guy, not only what he could do physically, but also what he could do mentally on the field and adjustments and things like that. So we got another Badger, Tyler Biadasz, and he's done an excellent job. And he's learning and he's getting better and better. And I'm expecting him to have a big year too, kind of taking that next step and have a big year. But to answer your question, yes, Travis was probably the most underappreciated person in our building for – he played 7 years, probably 7 years.
He was also the leader. There was the older group that they kind of flushed out to make room for all you guys. They, led by Colombo, which I thought was funny and ironic, they wore as a badge of honor not talking to any reporter. They didn't see it as a bridge to the public or being able to state what they – so Travis, as a rookie, stepped right out. And he took on all interviews, and I told him many times, you're the best I've ever seen at saying absolutely nothing beautifully for like 2 minutes, and everyone's happy.
Yep.
And you're that guy now.
I try to be. He taught me a few things.
Intentionally. That's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah. No, I think I definitely, as an older guy, I mean, anytime – I mean, I don't mind talking to the media, and if it takes it off everyone else's plate, I'm fine with that. And, you know, that's what Trav was able to do for all of us was kind of it's not a burden by any means, but take on that and kind of take the brunt of that. And he did it, like you said, very well without saying too much. So, I try to – I'm not sure if I'm on that level with the media, but I'm trying.
But it is – the reason I bring it up as we're starting to get close to winding this up, it's a symbol, an example of leadership, which he embraced.
Yeah.
And you have embraced it.
Yep.
And you began to embrace it while he was still here.
Yeah.
And you lockered next to Witten, and then you got Witten's locker. And tell me about leadership.
Yeah, for me, leadership starts with doing it first before you can be this vocal leader, and you have to show that you can consistently do it day in and day out. That really my whole career is summed up, in my opinion, is like consistency is king, right? Some guys are flashy, some guys do this and that, but if you can be the exact same guy every single day, that to me, because I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm like blessed with the, like to stand up in front of a room and give this big hoorah speech, right? Like Dak, for example, as good as I've been around talking in front of a team, and he, that's what he does, right? I do it when I have to, but for me, leadership, I try to show that consistency on a day in and day out basis. And I think that as much as anything is that's kind of how I see leadership in my mind.
If I'm still alive, I would like to be invited to your Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Well, we'll see if we get there. But.
You'll get there. Here's one of the all-time best ever to play. Zach Martin, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr.
Appreciate
Sam.
It very
Appreciate
much. It. Will we work together long enough for you to call me Brad ever?
I just feel like it's a respect thing, Mr. Sham, you know?
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Then and now, I'm Brad Sham.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.